need more transparency.
Oh.
If they aren't running a test, they're testing on your site.
Yep.
I mean, you do have to put your head down, you do have to grind, you do have to work, but at some point you do also need to do it.
In today's episode, I invited Kyle Roof, the man, the legend. Kyle had become famous in the SEO industry for ranking websites with lorem ipsum, which is gibberish language. And after his experiment, he got penalized, but that didn't stop him. Kyle has run over 400 scientific SEO tests ever since. And if you haven't known, Kyle also has his own SEO tool called Page Optimizer Pro and runs his own event, SEO Estonia, with Clark Hanger. He's also the co-founder of IMG Courses. We're gonna discuss how Kyle is running scientific SEO tests, what Kyle has learned in his years of entrepreneurship and search engine optimization, and he will share with us his number one advice for future entrepreneurs and SEOs. So let's get into the episode. Welcome everyone to the Aspiring CMO Show. Today we have Kyle Roof with us.
Hello.
How are you, Kyle?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
And where are we at right now?
We're at the Algonquin. The Algonquin is one of my favorite places in Chiang Mai. It's a social club. I absolutely love it.
Amazing. Later, we will give you a tour. But before that, we're going to start on the show. And today, we have a mystery box. I have prepared questions for Kyle, and he has not prepared for these, so it's all mystery.
I think that's important to note. I've never seen these questions before, so I don't know what's on there. We'll see how it goes.
Exactly. So it's a random question, and you can start by getting one, or I can ask you a question.
We'll go into the box of destiny.
Okay.
What are the 2 to 3 things SEOs should be afraid of? Things that SEOs should be afraid of. If you're doing client work, I think one thing you need to be afraid of is the unwilling client. There are people that want SEO, but then don't want to do the SEO, or they don't want it done. And like they have the idea of they want maybe SEO what was in their mind, but then when you present what SEO actually is, it isn't what they want. You're gonna get a lot of friction and a lot of resistance.
What is the unwilling client sounds like or act like?
Well, when you say like, okay, this is the plan, we want to do this, 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 and this, and this, and then they reject the entire plan.
Why would they do that?
Well, you get sometimes where people have this idea of what SEO might be, or maybe they wanted their own ideas validated, but that's not, just because it was what they thought it was, is not really what it should be, or what perhaps the best thing for the site could be. And so you get a lot of pushback where they were willing for the idea or for the concept of SEO, but then when they actually see what it is, they don't want to be involved. So if you're doing client-side work, that's something that happens a lot. You also run into issues if you deal with larger companies on what they call stakeholders. It's one of my least favorite terms in corporate SEO or corporate agencies of work, is where different people have different control over the website. So like, hey, we need to tweak these pages. And like, well, that team, they're the stakeholders of those pages, so we have to get them on board, and they really don't understand SEO. And it's like, why are we talking then? Like, why are we doing this if we can't actually go and do SEO for the site? So maybe on the agent side, that'd be one thing to be afraid of. In general, though, like if we're kind of talking meta or broader SEO, I don't think you need to be afraid of change. You know, this is a new industry, and there's new evolving technologies. Don't be afraid of that change. Embrace the change. Be afraid of SEOs that don't change. Mm-hmm. That don't. So the framework that you build should be able to adapt to whatever happens. You know, mm-hmm. And so be afraid maybe if you can't adapt. You know, it doesn't matter the tool. You know, in the last year, AI has been huge, and a lot of AI tools. But if you understand what you're doing, understand the why of what you're doing, you can then shift. So don't be afraid of the future, so long as you can. As long as you understand the why of what we're doing, and then anything that comes along, you'll be good.
Do you think the why keeps changing, or the why is the same, but is that the method to get there is changing?
The what you're trying to accomplish stays the same. We're trying to get traffic.
Okay.
And actually, we're not even traffic, isn't it? We're trying to get impressions. We're trying to get views. You know, I think a good analogy is if you had a brick and mortar site, an actual business, and there are people walking in front. So from an SEO's perspective, the website is that business, and we're trying to get people to walk in front. Mm-hmm. We can't get them to walk inside. We can't get them to buy anything. And there are elements that help that in SEO, but really what we're trying to do is just get more foot traffic.
Okay.
And so if you understand that we're trying to get foot traffic, for people to see the site, to have the ability to go in, then as long as you understand that that's the concept, we can always do that, mm-hmm. regardless of what new technology comes along or how the SERPs might change or anything like that.
Thank you so much for listening to this far into the episode. And if you want to meet successful online entrepreneurs and SEOs just like you, make sure you join the SEO Mastery Summit from April 7 to 11 in the center of Ho Chi Minh City. We'll have over 15 international speakers coming from all over the world and attendees joining to make connections and build their businesses to their best potential in 2024. So our first SEO Mastery Summit event sold out. So make sure you grab your tickets today because we are increasing prices at the end of every single month. So I'll hope to see you there, and let's get back to the episode.
I see. So with that, the past 1 year of change, like it was a lot of turbulence and stuff, but do you see that like the why has changed at all? Like
we're still trying to get that foot traffic.
Okay, so like anything that you personally did with your agency or like your businesses to change in SEO, anything that you've changed?
Well, with like SGE, so like the little extra things. If you remember back when featured snippets came out, you know, the idea is like, okay, now we need to get into a featured snippet. Or first is, do we want to? And then the next is, okay, we probably do, but that's just foot traffic. And so the idea of, okay, let's figure out how we can do that. And that's work that we did. Now we're doing work on how we can get into SGE, because that's another place where the foot traffic is happening. And that's where we want to go and get it. And that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, awesome. So in summary, there are two things that SEOs should be afraid of. One is the unwilling client. Mm. So do your sales process a bit better, right?
Maybe. A little vetting on the front.
Yes. Yeah. And the second is understand the why, and it's the same, but regardless of the change, we still just want
traffic. You understand what we're trying to do, you can use any tools. You can adapt to whatever happens within the industry, and you'll do well.
Amazing. Yes. So next mystery question.
Okay.
By the way, Kyle also has to put up with my handwriting right now, so it's a double challenge.
It's excellent. It's so much better than mine. What are the three things that led to your success? You have to be a problem. I think I'm a problem solver. And I have a degree in law. I have a Juris Doctorate. A lot of people talk about when that transition to law, that seems so different going from law to SEO or some form of marketing. And actually, I think it's the same level of problem solving. In law, you're here and you need this outcome, and you have to figure out how to do that. And there are steps along the way. And you have to do research, and you have to compare your situation to other situations. And then when you get into SEO, you know, your site's here and you want to get it there. Well, there are steps along the way. And you have to do research, and you have to compare, and you have to figure, are we this situation or that situation? And so the reasoning and the problem solving you have to do, I think it's very similar. And I think that's something that I'm good at. I think that has led to my success. For me personally, I think I'm a decent public speaker.
Yes, I think that's amazing.
I think that has led to a bit of my success. Being able to be on camera, to be on stage, has been a benefit that I know that's not available to a lot of people. And I'm very fortunate that I'm able to do that.
Was that a conscious thing that you were working on? Like, in order to put yourself out there, you have to work on public speaking on anything? Or was that like a natural transition from law, where you have to present in court, you know, to SEO?
You know, what's kind of funny is my worst day in SEO, no one has gone to jail. And so, like, my worst day in law, people went to jail for a long time. And so, like, that kind of public speaking, like, the stakes are so much lower. Like,
okay.
So, like, even though I get nervous when I get on stage, and I think everyone does, that's very natural. But at the end of the day, you can take a deep breath, and the stakes are a little bit lower.
That's true.
And it does make it easier. It does make it easier to do. I think another thing that's led to my success is my family and my support network. You need to have people around you. You need to have family in your life or people in your life that are supporting what you're doing, because it's pretty weird to say what we do, right? At the end of the day, there's nothing in my hand that I can show that I did. You know, you have to look through this magic window to see any of your work. And so to explain that and be like, hey, I'm going to start this business that exists in the ether. You know, I'm going to do this thing for these other businesses that exist over here in this, you know, phantom realm. That's an odd thing, and you need people that are going to be supportive of those ideas and those concepts and what you're trying to accomplish. And I've had that in my life, and I've been very fortunate. So maybe those are the three things that have led to my success.
I really love this answer, because none of that has shown you just need to like make a million. Like, it's not like a lot of time on the internet, like, oh, you just need to make like X amount of dollar per day and then you become successful or something. But like all the things that you have mentioned is something that comes from personal development and putting yourself out there And especially with the public speaking, that's not something people would be like, oh, I'm successful because I can actually present myself. I think many SEOs
can learn. You can learn too. Mm. Like, I think maybe I'm more naturally inclined to it or something that I can do, but it's a skill you can learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not reserved for certain people. You can actually learn how to do it. And even if you're not presenting on stage or doing podcasts or YouTube shows, you still have to present to clients.
Yeah.
Or you have to present to potential partners.
Okay.
Or you have to, you know, present to this or that. So, like, having the ability to present is something that is very valuable, and I think it's a skill you can learn.
Exactly. And that's also what I've been learning through Toastmasters International. That's how I started. I think without going to a public speaking club, which is like a very small club, I wouldn't be able to do all this podcasting at all.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Like, I'm not nervous to start interviews. Like, that's the least thing I'm nervous about. I'm more nervous about, like, is this microphone working right now? You know?
I saw a little bit of that before. That we,
yes. Yes. Amazing.
That's great.
Let's go through the next question.
Okay. What's your number one advice for aspiring CMOs? Well, I always, this is advice I've given before. But when you think about the thing that you want, or you think about the people that are doing the thing that you want to do, or the thing, you know, these guys have that and I don't, I think a really important thing is to go there.
What?
Go physically to where those people are. So they're probably meeting in a group. They're probably in a location. Or like, you want clients, I want plumbers. There's probably a plumbers group. Go to where that is. Go to where the thing that you want is and be physically present and be active. And I think, so if you want to be a CMO, find CMOs.
Mm-hmm.
They exist. They're real, you know, and they're probably getting together in some way, or people that are at that certain level, at that C level, that you want to be involved in, and be active in their group, be present. You will learn how they got there. You'll learn the traits. You'll learn what their 9-to-5 looks like, or their, you know, their 7-to-7 looks like, you know.
Yeah.
But then when you're present in those groups and you're around, that's when things start to happen, where when a referral happens. And when you're present and you're active, when they realize, oh, that's something that Annie can do, you get a referral. When partnerships happen, people look to the circle around them first. So if you want those partnerships, you want those JVs, you want that CMO level, you want to get in with those companies, go there, be present and be active. And then what happens is it starts to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to pick up the traits that they're doing that are the good traits. You start to be involved in those conversations. You start to think the way that they're thinking. And then when those opportunities come along, because people always reach around, they go to the people they know first. You know, if I hear something and I know you're a person that can do it, I'm coming to you first because I
yeah.
know you.
Yeah.
You know, and we're around each other. That's how it works in life. And so if you want that, you have to be there. You have to be physically present. And so my advice would be, if you're aspiring to that, go to where that thing is. Or maybe it's the companies you want to be the CMO for. They exist, like the decision makers exist somewhere, and they go and do things, be active in their circles, be present, and then that I think can be the best opportunity.
So it's like you should be very strategic about your networking as well. That's what I, to summarize your
sure.
answer. Yeah, I don't think like networking is something that people really take seriously until it's like you really, really need it. And I think the way you have described it is like so practical as well. Like just think about a persona and just go to their group
yeah.
and be present. But other than that, like I think maybe also do some, like do the work and be
active.
Yeah.
But you could even be like, if a group gets together, somebody has to go get the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to go get the sodas, you know? So you don't have to be, oh, look at me, I'm amazing, I'm involved in this. You could be just contributing, you know, in some way. And when you're contributing, then they know you're around. And then that immediately gives you access to the decision makers or the people that are higher up in the group.
Yeah.
Because like, oh, can anybody do this? I can do that. You know, it doesn't take a lot. You went to the store and got the ice, but then that puts you on their radar and that gets you involved and now you're active and now you're contributing. And then when those opportunities arrive, they're gonna think of you.
Because mm-hmm.
that also then they were talking to you. What are you doing? What are you trying to do? And that gives you that in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To get that thing that you're looking for.
And it also shows like you are a responsible person
right.
that no matter what's happening, like you are there to be like you're a reliable, responsible
that's right.
person. And it almost seems like being reliable and responsible is like it's way more important than the hard skills.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. We're almost done with the mystery box.
Okay.
You're doing great.
How do you test an experiment? Most of the tests that I do come from things that I want answers to.
So for yeah. example?
test that I'm just starting right now. You know, will a dot agency site rank? So instead of like a dot com or a dot co as a top level TLD, what about those off brand ones? Dot agency, dot pro, dot
okay.
courses.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, can those rank?
Uh-huh.
You know, can they rank as well? And so I'd like that answer. And so because that's something that is valuable to me in some of the work that I'm doing, so I can show that yes, they do or no, they don't, I'll set up some tests. And so a lot of the concepts of the test come from, I just want that answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can set it up.
I like this.
Yeah. I'm not the only one doing tests, but there are a lot of people, but there are, it's a surprisingly small group of people, I think, that are legitimately trying to run tests and see how the algorithm works. But you're right. What most people do is they throw a page up on a site that maybe they're working on and just see how it performs. I don't think that's the best approach. I think you do want to dissociate your tests from something you care about in the event that something goes horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And the line they used when we were just starting the agency years and years and years ago, and we were trying to get clients, and we realized that other agencies weren't running tests. So a line that we would use would be, ask another agency you're talking to what tests they're running.
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't running any tests, that means they're testing on your site.
Yep.
You know, and that got us probably clients we didn't deserve when we were really just starting out and really didn't have the case studies. But we did have the test. We said, hey, this is what we're doing, because the idea is we're going to test things over here. We're going to see what works, what doesn't. We're not going to chase shiny objects. You know, the latest and greatest, we're going to try that out first before we bring something to you. And the stuff that we bring to you, we know works.
I like that.
We know it's going to move the needle.
But it also sounds like it's a case study, though. Like, if you run tests, that it's essentially a case study for you.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And tests don't have to be, like, tests. They don't have to be all the way in scientific and single variable. Just running a case study where, like, we tried this thing and we got this result, that at least gives you something to talk about and something to evaluate and something to determine if it does or doesn't work. So it doesn't have to be as all nitty-gritty scientific. It's actually just doing something, but doing it that is removed from a client site, so you're not potentially hurting something that you care about or your own site.
For someone who doesn't run tests yet, but they already aware of this, how much time do you devote for tests and experiments? Is it like weeks, months?
I think the reason that people don't do them is because they're hard to do.
Okay.
And they're hard to set up. Like, conceptually it's easy, but it becomes difficult in the actual execution of it. And they're time consuming. You know, when you think about it, if you did something on page, that could be, you can see results in days sometimes, but you can also see results in weeks or months. And then if you do something off page, now we're talking weeks, months plus. And so these tests can take a long time to set up, to monitor, to run. And then what happens quite often is you realize you made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you're a month and a half into this test and you realize you just wasted 6 weeks. And that's less than fun. You know, and you...
But it's the mistake that also learn, like, just don't do this.
Oh, exactly.
Right?
You learn so much in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It also gives you a framework where when you hear somebody say something about SEO, you can kind of immediately say, like, yeah, that sounds reasonable, or no, that's complete nonsense. Because you have a foundation of what actually does and doesn't work.
Okay.
You know? So it's,
yeah,
it's healthy and good to do, it's just not very easy to do.
So do you limit yourself to like one or two tests per quarter or something?
I would say I run 1 to 2 tests a month.
Oh, that's a lot.
Yeah, and then because tests take some time, there are some that are running. There are tests that I'm personally conducting and overseeing and kind of physically doing, and there are other tests that I'm consulting on or overseeing. But maybe if you add in all those, call it 4-ish a month is what I'm doing.
And do you have like a whole test team that runs it?
It's a team of a couple. like you need a developer that knows what they're doing, and then if you have an SOP on how to spin up the pages that you need, you can expedite that kind of quickly.
Okay.
You don't need too many people.
Oh, okay.
But I can tell you, I am not going to sit down and build a web page at this point in my career.
I barely know
how to do it. I had to do it last year, like, oh, I can put up a web page. And then with how the web page builders look now, I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know how to.
I think I listened to your podcast maybe 1.5 or 2 years ago, and then you said the same thing, like, oh, I'm in the back end of WordPress. What am I doing?
I have no idea what to do. Literally, I have no idea. Like, I need, like, not even Gutenberg, I need, like, the one before that, you know?
That's the power of delegation.
Yeah, like, maybe it's sad, but maybe it's good. You shouldn't be building web pages.
You shouldn't, yeah, or you should.
You should get to a point where you're not building it.
Right.
You're not physically doing it. You understand it, but you're not physically doing it.
Yeah. I personally did like other experiments for other like Pinterest pages I've been doing because it's easy to set up. But I also run into the problem like, man, this is time consuming and I don't know what the outcome is. Is it going to be like a, I put up, you know, 500 images, wasted 500 hours, and then, I don't know, doesn't get any likes or something. I'm like, that's not good.
It would be better if somebody else is doing that work.
Yeah. But processizing is probably one of the key things then to also do experiments. And
oh, for sure. That allows for consistency, that things are done properly. It reduces error, or potential error, if you've got a set process on how you're doing this.
That's interesting. Now that I'm so inspired by it, because if I can, like, have one person in my agency team to just do experiments, and then that's their full-time job, and then the result of the experiment will become either a service or like a consultation advice, like, do not do this, please.
One person, you might burn one person out.
Okay.
And especially if it was their only thing, they might burn out.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be careful there.
Okay.
Because it is a slog. It is difficult to get through sometimes. And so maybe bounce it around a little. And you actually need somebody that's a bit motivated. I've had people that were doing them that just didn't like doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and then
I would probably fail.
Yeah.
Like, I get distracted very easily.
So you want to make sure that person also likes doing the thing.
Yeah. Amazing. So now we have a couple of questions left.
Okay. Two more. In your experience, what are the three things that SEOs should do more of? We need more transparency.
Oh.
That's always, the industry has this kind of running black eye with like, the SEO is mystical and magical, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of transparency where people, the number one thing you hear from clients or people that have been burned by SEO is that I don't know what my SEO is doing, right? I don't know what they've done. And so we definitely need more transparency.
From like your experience, like you've been running your agency so many years, right? But what does that transparency mean for the client? Is that like a full report, or is it
showing actually the work you've done? You don't need to show them how it's done, but you need to show them this is what we're going to do, and then this is what we did.
Uh-huh.
So they can see those things, and they can actually see. And we also want to discuss, again, why you would be doing that. Like, they've got their goals. It's getting loud in the club. They've got their goals, and then you tell them, okay, those are your goals. These are the things we would do. And then when they say, okay, they green light that, then you should be able to show them what you've done.
Okay.
And a lot of times money is taken, and then at the end, maybe rankings went up, but the work product or something physical didn't appear, and that's hard for clients to understand. So you should be completely transparent about what you're doing, and they should be able to see stuff at the end. So more transparency for sure.
I understand. Like, it's almost, but do you do this like multiple times a month, or is it like a system for it as well?
At the beginning of the month, we talk about what we're going to do, and then it's agreed upon. During the month, there are updates of, hey, we're doing those things we said we're going to do. And at the end of the month, we show these are the things we did.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Simple. I like that.
And then maybe do one call a month with the client where you review the things done, and then you agree on the things to be done.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yes. I like simplicity. Yeah. Like, yeah. And what are the other things that SEOs should do more of?
What should SEOs do more of? I don't really know. I want to say something cool, like...
Use more AI.
No, I was going to say more like live life better. You know, like a lot of SEOs, I'm sure you get this way, we get stuck inside a lot, right? You know, we sit down a lot. There is a point to all of this at the end of the day, and the point is to live a better life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be doing something you enjoy, and it pays you in that enjoyment, but then also leads to other enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe spend more time with the Algonquin. You know?
Yeah.
Come and do things like that. I think that is an important part of life, and it's easy to miss. It's easy to miss that you should be enjoying life. You should be doing things that you want to do. Your work should be something you want to do.
Yes.
And then, but it should be a means to an end of more enjoyment.
Yep.
Doing those other things. So maybe taking a little time, a little perspective on enjoying life would be something I think we all should do a little more of.
That's very insightful. Yeah thank you. You know, like, don't get stuck at home, guys. It's okay.
No. I mean, you do have to put your head down, you do have to grind, you do have to work, but at some point you do also need to enjoy it.
What Matt was saying, I think last year, was like, it's almost like once you are good with search engine optimization, you should go into like lifestyle optimization. Yeah. And I mean, that's how I personally got into productivity tips and stuff. But yeah, like the mini tweaks and how to get the most out of your time.
For sure.
That's also important.
For sure. We talked, you and I have talked about this. Just like we can optimize our lives. We can optimize web pages. We can also optimize our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We can do things a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah,
to
yes.
Make them a little bit better for you, you know, yeah. And for what you're looking to do and how you want to live.
Yes. Yeah. Amazing. Cool.
Do I have to come up with one more? I don't know if I have one.
No, whatever. Depends on you. Depends on you.
I don't know. I think I just got those two right now.
You have multiple businesses in SEO. One is IMG, one is POP, So and one is your Estonia conference.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's all three areas of SEO that is just kind of like a very holistic way to approach. One is like helps SEOs to network. Yeah. The other one is actually a technical tool. And the other one is like a community, which yeah. I'm wearing right now. And I'm so proud to wear it.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
We need the advertisement.
And it's almost like, I see this as a three key areas. Like you need the technical thing because you're an SEO, but all these other, like the community and the networking, right?
Well, all of the businesses that I've worked on that have been successful have been iterations of things that I've done. So like if we were to start at the agency, for example, all the other businesses have peeled off of that. You know, they've been ideas off of that and they've been turned into their own companies. And I think a mistake that a lot of people make is let's say they've got a very successful agency or they've got a very successful affiliate site and they made a lot of money in SEO and then they think they can go do Forex trading. You know what I'm saying? And that has nothing to do with the, and maybe some can. I'm sure some have been successful, but you see what I'm saying? It's
yeah.
so far afield from what you actually were successful at, what you're good at and what made all that money. And so I think if you can iterate rather than innovate, I think you can be very, very successful. And then what happens when you've got these companies that are positioned so that they're not competing, they're complementary, well then you can market
yeah.
between them. And once you get somebody into your sphere, you know, you can kind of touch them wherever they might be in the SEO they need. Do they need to learn SEO? Do they need to do SEO? Do they need to expand or grow in their SEO? Or do they need more networking in SEO? And then you've got all these different kind of companies that all work together and they're complementary. So that when somebody comes in on this one, that might not be exactly what they were looking for, but then you've got ever other offerings for them and at different levels of how hands-on you are with them and also different price points or service points. And so I would highly recommend iterating rather than innovating as you go through and build out your empire.
I love that. And it's from a third point of view, I feel like you have built a ecosystem for SEOs and the SEO don't never feel lost in that ecosystem. Mm. Like there's always something to do, to learn. And
awesome. Well, thank you.
It's really inspiring, super inspiring. Like even for aspiring entrepreneurs, like what you have built in the SEO industry, I think that can be applied for other industries as well.
I think certainly. I can't take 1,000% credit for it. I also can't say that it was intentional. Like,
yeah.
At the beginning, it was just like, this was a natural thing that we were doing. And then, my business partner, Andy, was hugely part of this. But, once we realized like, oh, this is kind of how it works. And then we realized this is how you iterate. This is how you grow these things, grow them in this way, create other companies around these things rather than trying to go so far. And once we clued in on that, it was really exponential growth.
Mm-hmm.
Because once one company starts doing well, then the other one starts doing well.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
They all really grow together and they start building upon each other. Once we had that realization, that was kind of a pivotal moment for us in our mm-hmm. business career.
Amazing. And now we have, oh my God, we are almost finished with the questions.
Oh, there's one more.
There's one more.
Okay. Tell us your favorite AI experiment. I don't know if I have any good AI ones. What have I done?
Is that imposter syndrome that you say is not good?
I have not tested too much with AI, so I haven't done too much with it.
How do you apply maybe your on-page best practices on AI then?
So that works really well. AI can't do SEO. Like that's, you know, like AI can help you do something faster, and this isn't my line. I can't remember who I stole it from. Actually, might have been Andy, but it was if you're bad at SEO, AI is only going to help you do bad SEO faster.
Yes.
You know, like,
that's what we want. Just kidding.
But that's what it is, because you can't ask it to do good SEO. You still have to do the input. And if you're bad at what you're putting into it, you're just going to get something bad out, but you're just going to get it a lot faster.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I have seen in the way to use AI and kind of how we've done it in the agency or projects or what we're doing in POP is you still have to give it good info. You know, it still has to be there. And then you can get good outcomes. But you can't just push a button and get something and it's SEO'd and lovely, because it's not.
No.
So you still have to be good at SEO, and then you can use that tool to speed up your good SEO.
That's a great way to summarize AI as well.
This gets back to what we were talking about earlier, is understanding the why.
Mm-hmm.
If you understand the why, then you can use the tool. But if you don't understand the why or what you're trying to accomplish, what we're trying to do, you would just take that and just leave it over.
Yep.
You know, you're like, well, the AI did this, so.
Yeah.
But it's not the AI, it's using the AI as a means to an end, but you have to understand what you're trying to accomplish.
Yes, yes.
If you don't have that understanding, then you're not going to do well. It doesn't matter how fancy the AI is.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yes. All right, so let's go to the last one.
Okay.
This is the last question, guys. And thank you so much for staying this far into the video.
What are you most proud of as an SEO and business owner? I am super proud of that none of the businesses existed, you know, like, before they were ready to, really just building something from nothing. You know, like, these businesses didn't exist. And then myself and my business partner, Andy, and we put so much work on it that it was really from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then turning it into something that now somebody like you wants to talk to me about. Like, that is, I'm very proud of that from absolute nothing to where we're at today. But it is hard to see that in the moment. I still see deficiencies. I still think how I can do things better. I was talking with my wife, Kim, just yesterday, and I was talking about how you kind of have these like levels where you're like, I think I'm legitimate. I think I'm legitimate. I think I'm legitimate. And the truth of the matter is you were legitimate way before that. But when you're in that moment, it's really hard to see.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to see it looking back. So, yeah, I'm really proud of what we've been able to grow. But you can only kind of see it in reverse, and it's hard to see it in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, but then you kind of see these levels of growth or levels of stepping up, and that's a lot of fun.
It is. And I think that me and like the viewers, like, we are really thankful for all the work that you have put out in the couple of years. Like, I started watching your videos not even knowing what the hell WordPress was, you know, and it's the way you have explained things. It was so simple, and I'm like, oh, I'm getting it now. And because the teachings from you and other SEOs on the internet, I was like, oh, I'm becoming more valuable in the company. So it's like almost like my career and my personal growth has been thanks to you guys. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Amazing. So now, anything else you would like to tell the audience?
Oh, I don't know. Are we going to do a tour of the club? Is that the plan?
All right, let's go a tour. So thank you so much for watching this part into the video, guys. And the tour has been...
I forgot that there's no filming in the club. It was my fault.
It's okay. All right.
Thanks so much for having me. This has been awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining the show. And don't forget to get your tickets to the Estonian SEO conference.
Absolutely.
All right. See you.
Thank you.
Bye.